Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation. And by DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. In-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit dxengineering.com/hamnation. And by Ting.com. Ting is a mobile phone service that makes sense. Save money with Ting. Pay only for what you use. Ting doesn't require a contract and offers unlimited devices on one shared plan. To save $25 on your first Ting device, visit hamnation.ting.com. That's hamnation.ting.com. This is Ham Nation, episode number 135 for February 19th, 2014. Real to real.
Hello, everybody. K9EID, and I'm back in Missouri in the Ozarks, and it was in the 60s today. Wonderful weather, and we have a really great show tonight, and I hope that all of you have called your friends and told them to dial up Ham Nation. Just put Ham Nation into Google, and we're there. We're going to see what's going on in Costa Mesa. Gordo, how you doing tonight? You had a little audio problem earlier, but we're hearing you. Everything okay?
All right, everything is fine, and thanks to the chat room for hanging in with us. Hey, a lot of Ham Fest coming up, this one this past weekend in Yuma, Arizona. Big hit, Bob. And this coming Thursday, Tupelo, Mississippi Amateur Radio Club having their Hints and Kinks. And this Wednesday through Sunday, Catalina Island, NA-066 with IOTA will be on the air thanks to the Palos Verdes Amateur Radio Club. Saturday, the Iowa Winterfest in Perry, Iowa, Crossroads Church. And Joe Eisenberg, the kit guy, will be there. This Saturday, I'll also be doing Skype with the Fox Cities Amateur Radio Club Banquet. And next week, boy, we got a lot of Ham Fest, Kentucky Ham Fest, Limark Ham Fest. Then week after that, Mike and Key Club having their get-together, and then Palm Springs, so plenty of Ham Fest. And a very special hello to Thomas Drake Sr., November 8, Tango Alpha Zulu. Get weller, Thomas, and good to hear that you're doing okay. Finally, back to you, Bob, and Gordo, we'll get better audio next week.
Well, we're happy to have all of the Ham Fest and the clubs tell us about the opportunities to let us tell everybody here on Ham Nation. And it's nice to be able to give a little shout to Tom. I hope everything works out okay. And let's see what's going on in Mississippi. Don't go away, Gordon. I got something. I'll come back to you. But how you doing, George? Everything okay there?
Yeah, everything's great here, Bob. The weather has finally warmed up. It's been in the mid-70s for the last few days. Been able to get outside and do a little stuff, and really looking forward to springtime this year.
Yes, even early, but I don't think that's going to happen. And we have Don Wilbanks joining us. Don, how's it doing down there? Are you okay?
I'm awesome. Yeah, the weather's warmed up. We've had extremely dense fog in the morning time, but I've been able to pull the top back on the car in the afternoon driving home, and been enjoying that. Might take the Jeep out tomorrow. Might take the Trans Am out, too, and pull the T-tops off. Speaking of the Jeep, the offroadham.com guys, I checked into their 7225 net on 40 tonight. They're going to be at Dayton, so we're looking forward to that. And, life is good down here in South Mississippi. Back to you.
Very good. Well, while I was back in Illinois, I've been all over the country. I think I told you a little bit last week about some of the goings. But I spent a couple weeks in the plant there also, and throwing out a lot of stuff, and I found a lot of old stuff. One of the things that I of course, I knew it was there. I have, probably 75 of these guys. You remember these guys? Oh, yeah. I have bunches of them, and I've just about went through all of them. Here's a handful. A lot of these are performances that I did back in the 50s and 60s when I was playing every night, six nights a week. But in all of that, I found this tape, and I want to play it for you. And check this out. See if you recognize all this going on. This is pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Now, this is Westlake.
Okay, let me get this going.
I don't know what that is.
The 1982 Winter Consumer Electronics Show was held in Las Vegas the weekend of the 10th. Westlink production coordinator Bill Orenstein and correspondent Gordon West were there. Here is their report.
There was plenty to see for amateur radio operators attending the Winter Consumer Electronics Show last weekend in Las Vegas. 65,000 people attending, looking at over 950 displays. Was there any amateur radio gear at the show? You bet there was. Telco Products Corporation in New York was showing a complete line of VHF and UHF power amplifiers, as well as export high-frequency solid-state amplifiers. Valor Enterprises Incorporated out of Ohio was showing a complete selection of VHF and UHF antennas, as well as a look-alike to the Vocom antenna for handheld. Wintenna Corporation out of South Carolina was showing a complete selection of fiberglass high-frequency amateur radio antennas for mobile use. They say they perform better than the Anixter Mark series. Harada Industries was showing a line of disappearing communication-type antennas that could be used for selected amateur radio frequencies. And high-gain Telex was, of course, boasting their acquisition of the CDE rotator line. Another company announcement of an acquisition was KLM and Mirage, the amplifier people. CB Radio Times Magazine also announced the acquisition of Cowan's S9 publication. So now it's just one giant personal communications magazine. From Las Vegas, this is Gordon West, WB6NOA, for Westlink.
It appears that cable TV...
Wow.
What year
ancient,
was that,
ancient amateur radio newsline. That's cool.
What year was that, Gordo?
Probably the early 80s or late 70s. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, probably late 70s with the CB radio stuff in there. That's cool. That's the beginnings of amateur radio newsline. It was called the Westlink Report back then.
That's right.
That's right.
Been going for 35 years now, continuously.
Bill will probably pop up on the chat room and tell us what hour it was of the day and the year. God bless you, Bill, for keeping that
so
going.
Nice. Another so thing, nice to check see this analog out. Tape too. So nice to see analog tape too. I was just thinking today, I cut my professional editing skills on analog tape, literally with grease pencil and razor blade. Uh-huh. And we lost our shared network drives at work yesterday, and I'm thinking, God, if I just had tape and a razor blade, I could do work.
That's right. Look at else I found. George, check it out. It's a slide rule so we can figure out all kinds of things. You can figure out watts, impedance, and ohms. It's an audio power and impedance calculator. Did you have one of those, George? But you probably had one in an HP calculator, right?
I didn't have that exact one. I had some of those, though, that did like Ohm's Law and some other measurements. Those are neat.
Yeah, and then I have a whole bunch of these guys. This will be a historical piece, I guess, one of these days. And what was interesting and why this was saved is back in those days, this was January of January of 63. I was the editor of the VHF single sideband column. And you got to think about that for a minute. There were very few of us on single sideband, 6 2 meters, so much so CQ had a column on it, and I was the editor of that for several years. And just fun stuff. So I just thought I'd share some of that. And Don, come up here with me, because as I said, I think there's about 75 of them in this box down here. Great listening. I didn't think I could play that good back in those days, but I guess I did. So anyway, and to fast forward at all, I want to invite everybody. This is very interesting. Michelle, our one of the three that takes care of all of our social media, she just did a thing on our website today, and it's really cool. We're starting to put pictures up there of your settings. So you got to go to the ohiosound.com and the DSP tab, and you go down and you can find what we call the DSP settings. Of course, it says all things Yaesu, all things Kenwood. And when you do that, if you go to all things Kenwood up at the top, go down to the bottom of that page of all the listings, you know, you got the numbers and numbers. But if you run down that column, we're putting actual pictures of the settings down at the bottom. And that's really cool because a lot of guys and gals are coming to me saying, oh, what do we do here? And there we go. And that's just one. And we explain that that's the more of the full range setting for the 990 because it gets really complicated today. That's one to roll it off for some of the DX work and so on. We're going to do that for a lot of the radios. And you want to go check that out and check into the Facebook page and go up and like that because there's some contests coming up too. So just thought I'd give you that hint because a lot of people are having just situations in adjusting their DSP settings on some of these new radios. So hopefully that'll help you. And if you have any questions or anything like that, just email me and we'll try to keep it going because it I think the pictures say a lot to all of that. And remember, there are two. There's both the amateur radio division and the pro division. But you want to get into the Facebook, there's a lot of things going on there. So I just wanted to bring some of that up for you. And I as a chat room talking, I enjoy all this old stuff and I have tons of stuff. I've listened through quite a bit of it. So that was quite a history lesson for me. Well, let's see here. We're going to go to Gordo because he's got some really cool things in his short shots tonight. So let her go, Gordo, and I hope you enjoy that tape of 1980, whatever. Was that fun?
That was terrific, Bob. Well, Brian, we'll give you the audio cues right here. And what a day today. As you know, they had a coronal mass ejection a couple of days ago. It impacted on the Earth's ionosphere about 8 hours ago. 6 meters was open all the way to South America as well as to other countries. And the 10-meter band, which we're going to talk about tonight, wow, all the excitement that you could have. So, Brian, if you'll go ahead and roll that first audio, we're going to take a look at technician class privileges on 10 meters. And at the very bottom of the 10-meter band, and Brian, the next shot, please. The very bottom of the band is an area not for voice, but rather for this business right here. And next shot, Brian. And so the 10-meter band has a lot of CW at the very bottom of the band, and technician class operators, you're good all the way from the bottom of 10 meters, 28.0, up to 28.5. And here you see it doesn't take much to get an antenna up on 10. All right, Brian, the next one. And as we go above the very bottom of the band from 28 to 28.07, we run into data. Technician class operators, you can run 200 watts and you can have signals that sound a little eerie like this. And that's data on the 10 meter band. And you see that at the very bottom of the dial. Okay, next shot to Brian. But where the real excitement on 10 meters for technician class operators to see whether or not the band is open is between 28.2 and 28.3. Because as you can see there, that's the beacon. And when we tune in to beacons, we tune across. And if you hear nothing, then you know the band is not open. But if you hear stuff like this, that means the band is open. So 10 meters for technician class operators, tune the beacons from 28,200 to 28,300. Next one, Brian. And just spin the dial. If you've got a pan adapter like this one, you'll actually see all of the signals coming out on 10 meters. And the next one, Brian. And so we encourage you to monitor the 10-meter band from sun up to sundown, whether you're doing a ham fest or whatever, because there's always DX over the next year or so on 10 meters. And sophisticated radio like the Elecraft, little 10 watts output, you could literally work the world. Next one, Brian. And here's Devin Day working the world at a field day station on an ICOM 718, having a ball on 10 meters. Hey, there he is, Ray Novak. And he's a big proponent of 10-meter operation. And you can make your own dipole on 10 meters out of a piece of wire. Each side is only 8.5 feet long. Wow, easy to get on 10 meters. And if you have an old CB antenna, you'll see that with just a little bit of pruning, it too will work up at the 28 megahertz band for 10 meters. And the next one, there we are taking a little SWR analyzer and checking out this automated antenna mobile for the 10-meter operation up at 28 megahertz. And here we are with a 10-meter, it's a Shakespeare big stick stuck on the top of the van's big pole, and the activity on 10 meters is quite exciting. So it doesn't take much. If you've got a three-element beam, you'll have a terrific signal on 10. Now, if you have a bigger antenna, much like what we see here, go ahead, Brian, give them this one. Whoa, wow. You're going to have a commanding signal, but you don't need all that antenna for a good signal on the 10-meter band when the band is open. And down here at the beach, that's Chip K7JA, a three-element beam, and we were working Japan easily on 10 meters. In fact, just a few minutes ago, Japan was coming in. These little fellas are loaded dipoles, and they work in the Bay Area great on the 10-meter band for technician-class operators. And here we are putting together a 10-meter beam. Again, it doesn't take much to have a commanding worldwide signal on 10 meters. You have 200 kilohertz of voice. That's as much room as on the extra class band for 20 meters. So, wow, extras, generals, technicians, you've got plenty of antenna and plenty of excitement on the 10-meter band. So we encourage all of you. Oh, there's Don, our ATV fellow. He's having fun at the local fair on 10 meters because it makes for great demonstrations. So we encourage all of you that if you've got a rig, put it to use. That is a DSP speaker from BHI on top of the Kenwood, and it really pulls in the signals nice on 10. And that little BHI speaker, it's amplified as well, but it cuts down the background noise, and what you hear will be a nice, clear signal on 10. And, of course, they're going to ask for QSL cards, so make sure you got plenty of QSL cards. And you can even go back, as Bob and I have done, and go to the next one, Brian, and you'll see a collection of QSL cards that really date back. And easily, you could work all states on 10 meters. In fact, many folks a few weekends ago worked all 40, all 50 states on 10, because the band has been open almost every day. Next one, Brian. So if you collect wallpaper, there will be plenty of it. And this goes all the way back to the 50s when I was on the air on 10 meters. And wow, that band is hot. The 1010 organization is 10-10.org. They've got a neat little newsletter, and it comes out once a month, and you collect about 10 or 15 numbers, and then you'll be ready to join the 1010 group. So technician class operators, don't think that you do not have SkyWave capabilities. You have plenty on the 10-meter band. So get that rig dusted off, 200 watts output, and you'll be rolling on 10 meters. So Tech, I hope to hear you up on 10 soon. Bob, back to you, because I'm going to play with Japan on 10 meters tonight.
You got it. And you can do that real easy. 10 meters is great. And it's a lovely band. Of course, everything else below it, the MUF, the maximum usable frequency, just glides on up and with all these great conditions. So 15 and 20, of course, is usually there. And then when the MUF goes up, it takes in everything else and up to 10 meters. And you can usually tell where the MUF is by listening on these various bands and going up into 6 meters and so on. It's really great. But it looks like we're in for some nice time. So be sure you do that. Thanks, Gordo, for that. That was really super, and I hope everybody gets on 10 meters. And don't forget, 2900 is the AM frequency. We don't operate sideband in and around there. And FM starts at 29, actually starts about 29.3, but you're going to find a simplex on 29.5 and 29.6, and on up there, 6.2, 6.4, 6.8 are repeaters. So check it all out. It's all there in these new transceivers. Well, let's have a little bit of news from ICOM, and then we're going to go listen to not Westlink, but Newsline from Don. So let's hear what ICOM's got tonight for Ham Nation.
ICOM America and ICOM Canada are teaming up to offer ham radio operators some incredible savings. You can get a great deal on a D-Star repeater direct from ICOM and help expand D-Star across North America. For a limited time, ICOM is offering a buy direct D-Star promotion for U.S. and Canadian residents. Purchase a D-Star repeater through the D-Star infrastructure program. The growth of D-Star over the past 4 years has been incredible with the release of the ID-51A and the IC-7100. More people are getting on the air with this incredible mode. In response to the request to make the infrastructure more affordable, ICOM America and ICOM Canada are teaming up to expand the number of repeaters. Hurry! This buy direct promotion is good for a limited time. Download the mail order form, fill it out, and send it in by mail, fax, or email today. Find out what all the D-Star fun is about. Visit ICOMAmerica.com/amateur for more information on ICOM's buy direct program.
And you can tune in and win after each episode of Ham Nation. Go to ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation and throw your name in the hat to win some great prizes from the ICOMSwagStore.com. But every month they're also giving away a radio as a grand prize. And for February, it's the ICOM IC-88D, a dual-band VHF UHF HT with 5 watts of power, D-Star digital voice, and wideband receiver. And lots more. So go to ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation today after the show and throw your name in the hat. And now I think it's time for Don Wilbanks and Newsline.
I'm still studying. I'm still studying the Grohl book here, the GRO. But I've noticed, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, George, there's a glaring omission. And Gordon, I wanted to bring this to your attention. There's a glaring omission in this book, something you left out. There is nothing whatsoever in this book about Dave Grohl. Are you not a Foo Fighters fan? Like Nirvana? I realize he spells it with an H, but in the next edition, you need to have something on Dave Grohl. While you ponder that, let's look at the news of the week.
From Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1905, here are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, February 19th, 2014. While we've been trying to dig out of a particularly harsh winter here in the U.S., particularly in the Southeast, Europe has had its share of winter-related issues. Heather Emby, KB3TZD.
Since January 31st, Slovenia has been affected by extreme cold weather such as blizzards, heavy snow, and sleet. This has caused the collapse of power lines under the weight of ice and falling trees, with electricity disruptions now affecting 250,000 people at the height of the outage. The restoration of electric main supply was being made difficult by continuing bad weather. This has prompted Slovenia to request assistance from the European Union in the form of mobile high-power electric power generators. While there has been no widespread national request for communications assistance, Slovenian radio amateurs are preparing to respond if required. In the meantime, a number of radio amateurs have been assisting in communications operations on a local community level. This due to problems with the mobile phone service and other radio networks falling victim to severe weather outbreaks. The European Union Civil Protection Mechanism has asked for assistance from nearby European states, with Germany, the Czech Republic, and Austria providing assistance. Because of uncertainty of both weather conditions and overall communications, the Austrian teams responding to Slovenia will be carrying their own gear so as to communicate back to their home bases using Pactor and Winlink.
All European radio amateurs are asked to keep clear of 3.601, 3.608, 3.617, and 3.644 megahertz. Those frequencies are being used to support the Pactor and Winlink operations until further notice. A UK monitoring station has gotten a fix on a possible French military station that's been causing interference in the 40-meter band. Hal Rogers, KHCMD.
The IARU monitoring system newsletter reports a French station has been making long CW transmissions of five-letter groups on 7.166. United Kingdom telecommunications regulator Ofcom used its direction-finding facility at Baudoc to get a fix on the station, which is now believed to be located in France's Loire Valley.
As of February 18th, two new bands have been made available to ham radio operators in Poland. The first is 472 to 479 kilohertz with up to 1 watt of effective radiated power. The other spectrum is from 122.25 to 123 gigahertz. Both are allocated to the Polish amateur service on a secondary, non-interfering basis to other services using the same spectrum. The European Radio Amateurs Organization has announced a new high-frequency on-the-air gathering that it's calling Experiencing Digital Voice. Its purpose is to help introduce this new mode to as wide a ham radio audience as possible while having fun and meeting other hams on the air the world over. The event is slated for March 1st and 2nd from 0 hours to 2400 hours UTC each day. The mode used is FreeDV, which implements both Codec 2 and the FDMDV modem, neither of which is patent protected or restricted. Recommended frequencies for this fun technology gathering and everything else you need to know is on the web at www.eurao.org. While on the subject of digital, you looking to make your Apple or Android device a little more ham radio-centric? Well, we've found a great list for amateur radio-related apps for smartphones and tablets. The online SWLing post has printed a rundown of some of the amateur radio apps that are currently available. You'll also find apps for shortwave and broadcast listening as well. To get there, go to the URL you'll find in the printed edition of this week's Amateur Radio Newsline report. And finally this week, we told you a couple of weeks ago about one of the Amateur Radio Newsline family appearing in a popular network television program. That show is Nashville, and Amateur Radio Newsline's Jim Dameron, N8TMW's episode is slated for broadcast Wednesday evening, February 26th on the ABC television network. Jim plays the part of a minister conducting the graveside service of one of the show's characters. The scene was shot in the historic Mount Olivet Cemetery in Nashville. The title of the episode is, They Don't Make 'Em Like My Daddy Anymore. That show's a favorite here in the AE5DW house, so you know we'll be watching. It comes on right after the live broadcast of Ham Nation. How convenient. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news brought to you each and every week for over 35 years and counting at www.arnewsline.org. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW 73. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation.
I'm telling you, if I was Dave Grohl, I would feel so slighted not being included in the Grohl book. I remember the first Dayton I went to was 1999. That was when they had the banquet. Bob, do you remember who the musical guest was in 1999 at Dayton?
It was WB6ACU.
That was your friend Joe Walsh. Exactly right. Then the following year, it was the Smothers Brothers, and then no more banquet. I miss those days. George, it's too bad that you picked last year to be your first, or year before last, whenever it was, to be your first Dayton, because you met, man, that was fun when we had the banquet. But let's not go down memory lane too far. Let's get into some smoke and solder, shall we?
Okay, Don. Well, we will travel down memory lane just a little bit further. That's because tonight's smoke and solder is something that Tommy and I did back in January of 2007. We started playing with some microcontrollers. Now, this was way before the Arduino, I guess, had even been conceived. So we used what was popular at that time, and that was the basic stamp. And we built a programmable CW IDer.
This is the Basic Stamp 2 OEM module. And we were looking for a quick and easy project to do today, and we thought that this amateur radio Fox Beacon project might be a good one. Basically, all this is a circuit that will key up a transmitter, and then send a Morse code identification. We're using the book Stamp 2 Communications and Control Projects. This is a great book. It's got a lot of amateur radio projects in it and other communications projects as well. The schematic for what we are building is right here. We're using a basic Stamp 2 module. The serial port is already on the basic Stamp 2 OEM module, so we don't have to put this on there. Instead of the relay that is used to key up the transmitter, we've inserted an LED here in that place so that you can see it light up to know that things are working. Here's the actual audio that's coming off out of the chip right here. And these P0 through P15, these are just input or output pins on the basic Stamp 2 module. You can send a voltage out, retrieve a voltage, send or receive pulses. And that's basically what it's doing here. It's sending out a series of pulses out this audio line here. This same line could have been used for controlling a relay or almost anything. There's also a reset push button right here. This does the same thing as a reset button on your PC. You press it and the program just restarts. Here's the parts we're going to need for this project, our basic Stamp 2 OEM module. We've got a push button switch that'll be the reset button. 0.1 microfarad capacitors, an LED, and a resistor to drop the voltage, the LED, a jumper wire, and a little pigtail for our power.
That LED's our rig.
Yes, this represents the transmitter. So we'll start by connecting the power. And in this case, the ground is going to go to pin 2, and we're going to put our positive voltage in on pin 3. The reset switch connects between pin 4 on this basic Stamp OEM module and ground, which will be the bottom bus here. Now let's make that ground. So we'll connect from our power supply ground, a jumper lead down to this ground bus. Then our transmitter, which is actually an LED in this case, goes from pin 5 to ground. And we put our resistor in series with our ground lead. Then our audio coming out of the unit is going to be from pin number 6. So we'll plug a 0.1 microfarad capacitor in there into ground, as our schematic showed. And we'll also plug a 0.1 microfarad capacitor from there to an empty spot. All that remains to be done is to connect the speaker, and it will connect from this end of the capacitor to ground. And the next step is to program the code into the unit. So we'll plug in the serial cable, and we'll connect the power.
Let's take a look at the source here and see how easy it is to write software that runs on the basic Stamp. If you've ever done any coding in the basic language, you'll be right at home in this. Even if you haven't, it's very easy and very readable. First of all, we've got three directives in the top of our source code. The first one tells us that we're using the basic Stamp 2. The second one tells us we're using the 2.5 version of the compiler, and the third one tells us the COM port that the device is actually hooked up on this particular computer. We have some constants set up. The first one is the tone. We give it a value of 800. So we're going to create an 800 hertz tone for our ID. We have the DIT length, which is 100 milliseconds or 1/10 of a second. The dial length is 3/10 of a second. When we execute, we're going to go through and key our push to talk. So this go sub statement tells us to go down and run a block of code. This particular one is keep PTT for key push to talk. It'll jump down here and execute the code. Right now, we're going to raise line 0 to high, and that'll actually light our LED. If you had it hooked up to a radio, it would you would have a relay in your circuit, and it would actually actuate the relay and key your rig. We'll pause 3/10 of a second and give the transmitter time to key up and continue on. Next, we're going to display the first letter of our call sign in the debug window. Again, you'll see that shortly. We're going to go sub the dial routine. So we'll go down here, find our dial routine, and we'll create a frequency on pin 1, and It's going to be for the length of the dial one variable, which was 0.3 seconds or 300 milliseconds, and we're going to create it at 800 hertz. These are the constants that we set up previously. We're going to pause for 0.1 seconds and then return where we started from. So we just executed this line. The next one will be go sub dit. The only difference in it is really the duration. If you look at them, you'll see this one was 0.3. This is 0.1. We're going to pause again and then return. We do that for the entire character. We'll pause after this character is finished, and then we'll continue on to the next one. We'll go through and do the same thing all the way through the entire call sign. Then we're going to unkey the push to talk. So we'll jump down here and take line 0 back low, and that'll turn off our light or deactivate your relay. Next line, we'll pause for 15 seconds, clear the debug window, and then go to start. Obviously, in the real world, you wouldn't want to be IDing every 15 seconds, so you could change it to whatever value you want. We'll go back to start, do the whole thing all over again, and it'll run continuously like that until you remove power from it. To get this into the basic stamp, our stamps cooked up before, like I said, to COM1, and we're going to just click the run button, and you can see it downloaded into the stamp.
Once the code is downloaded, the program automatically starts running.
Amazing.
Isn't it? What did it say?
I don't know. I wonder if someone could email us in and let us know.
Okay. Yeah, any of you watching the screen, let us know what it says. You notice the LED's on while it's sending the code, and then it turns off afterwards. That's to unkey the transmitter that it simulates.
Yeah, it'd be very easy to interface that with your radio.
It would be, yeah. And so here you go. A repeater controller for roughly $30. A repeater IDer.
You might want to adjust your timing so it didn't ID every 15 seconds.
Yeah, that would be a good idea, Tommy. Well, that was a lot of fun, and that was our first experience with microcontrollers. And those basic stamps are still around and still as useful as they ever were. That stuff's a lot of fun. If you've been thinking about playing with microcontrollers, get a basic stamp or get you an Arduino Uno kit or something like that. It is really not that hard to do, even if you've never programmed a computer before. Well, last week I asked a question. In Europe, what type of connector is used instead of the F connector? Well, I had an answer to that, and it came from Fred Miles, KJ6OOV, and he said, the European TV aerial connector is a Belling-Lee PAL connector, or it's EIC-169-2. And here's a pair right here. This is one of those RTL TV dongles that everybody's building software-defined radios out of these days. The little connector on the antenna looks sort of like an RCA connector, and it just plugs right into the end of the thing here. And, yeah, I think I'd prefer an F connector. This slips out pretty easy. So congratulations to Fred. You're going to win some of this Heil wire, the good rubber-jacketed microphone cable for use with the amateur radio. It's got the silver-plated braided shield in here, two conductors to carry your audio, and then another pair over here to be used for headphone audio or push-to-talk or whatever you like. So Fred will be getting that out to you this week. And for next week, my question is going to be, and this came from the ARRL General Amateur Radio Exam, and it is, what type of messages for a third party in another country may be transmitted by an amateur station? And your choices are A, any message as long as the amateur operator is not paid; B, only messages from other licensed amateurs; C, only messages relating to amateur radio or remarks of a personal character, or messages relating to emergencies or disaster relief; and D, any messages as long as the text of the message is recorded in the station log. And if you'll send your answer to me, hamnationcontest@gmail.com, you could win this MFJ-1712S. This is a little 2-meter 440 telescoping antenna. Comes up pretty small. Yeah, you look up your measurements and decide what you need for UHF, a little more for VHF. This is made to fit some of the newer handy talkies that have an SMA connector on it. This particular antenna right here has the male SMA on it, so you'd have to have a female on your radio. But if you'd like to win that, well, send your answer to me, hamnationcontest@gmail.com. And, Bob, one other thing that we wanted to mention, we got a message here from Tom Drake Jr., and he said his father has end-stage lung cancer, and he's been a lifelong ham enthusiast. But unfortunately, he only discovered Ham Nation recently in the last couple of months, and it's been wonderful to see him engaged and excited about something again. And he wondered if we would give a shout-out to NATAZ, Tom Drake Sr. Well, hello, Tom. We're glad you found the show, and we hope we're bringing you some entertainment there. 7-3, and, you know, we wish you the best of luck there, Tom. And now I think it's time that we go check in with Dale.
Or maybe me.
Or maybe Don.
Talk about yes, that's DX. Right. Talk about DX Engineering first, and then we'll get to Dale. How's that sound?
That sounds even better, Don.
All right. And Tom, we're pulling for you, Tom. We really are. Okay. It's funny that you mentioned antennas, because that's what I want to talk about a little bit with DX Engineering. What good is your fancy antenna if you're not sure how well it's working? Pro broadcast telecommunications engineers, which George is, and amateur operators, which George is, all over the planet trust analyzers from Rig Expert. They're a perfect fusion of functionality, accuracy, durability, ease of use, and DX Engineering will hook you up with several from Rig Expert to help you maximize the antenna system potential. It's an invaluable tool for testing, checking, tuning, repairing, designing antennas and feed lines. They can also be used to test coax assemblies, which you've talked about, George, a little bit. Measure the capacitance or inductance of reactive loads, drastically cut down on antenna adjustment time. And they easily connect to your computer. From there, you can unlock more functionality like plotting Smith charts. Large graphic display makes them easy to use out in the field, too. Graphic representation of your SWR, your impedance, loss, whole lot of information with these things. And several analyzers are available from DX Engineering, depending on what frequency range you want to cover. There's even a model that has a 0.1 to 1400 megahertz range. Boy, talk about your one-stop shop there. The Rig Expert ISM analyzer is specifically designed to cover the 2.4 gigahertz ISM band. The actual operating range is 2.3 to 2.6. Perfect for Wi-Fi, wireless networks, Bluetooth, proprietary wireless data transfer networks, and the ever-expanding 13-centimeter ham radio band. You can test antennas, RF cables, monitor the RF environment in spectrum analyzer mode. This is an amazing tool. It'll even measure the output power of wireless access points or transmitters if you're the IT guy at your company. Power measurement range from negative 20 dBm to plus 25. And the backlit display is very easy to read. It's large. You don't even need your glasses. You can zoom in on spectrum display on segments of 10, 20, or 100 megahertz for ultra-precise measurements. Now, if you want to grab any of this gear, get your order in by 10 p.m. Eastern tonight. If it's in stock, DX Engineering will put that bad boy on a truck. It'll be headed your way tonight. Proven products, expert advice, the fastest shipping in the industry. That's DX Engineering. They're helping you shrink the globe. Get your catalog. Shop online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, dxengineering.com/hamnation. And DX Engineering, thank you so much for your support of Ham Nation. Great stuff at DX Engineering and great people as well. Now, let's see what Dale has up his sleeve, shall we?
Well, thanks, Don. Enjoyed that. We have bought a lot of things at DX Engineering over the years and love the fantastic phone support when you're looking for something special. Well, tonight we've got three big events, a grand opening in Paris, Texas, the Puerto Rico ARRL Convention, and the Orlando Hamcation. First up, David Hunt, KE5BMY. He's at the grand opening of the Main Trading Post there in Paris.
On Saturday, February the 15th, more than 300 people gathered in Parrish, Texas for Main Trading Company's grand opening. Richard, KI5DX, his wife Christy, and the rest of the MTC crew worked very hard to ensure the event was a great success. Representatives from ICOM, ARRL, and Radio Waves were on hand to assist customers and help with the celebration. Ray Novak helped with everything from sales to homework. The Parrish Chamber of Commerce was also on hand for a ribbon cutting at 10 a.m.
1, 2, 3.
All right.
Many people took advantage of some great offers and free tailgating outside. The day concluded with several prize drawings, including MFJ gear and several Wooks and handhelds. The grand prize was a Kenwood TS-590S. Thanks to Main Trading for all their hard work and dedication to amateur radio.
Well, thank you, David. Great job. Keep those videos coming in there from the panhandle down in Texas. Well, it's a new week, and we have a brand new club website of the week. It's W4NJA.org. And Brian, if you'll bring the site up, we'll take a quick look at the website created by the Paducah Amateur Radio Association in Kentucky. The site was nominated by Bill Kassenbaum, KY2O. He told Ham Nation he likes the site because he can find out what is going on with ham radio in the Paducah area. Whether it's the next meeting, an upcoming club event, club photos, a local ham fest, or a new repeater. Club members in Kentucky do like to stay in touch. Give it a spin, w4nja.org, and email your nomination for the club website of the week to hamnationvideos@twit.tv. Well, let's jump right into a report now from the recent Puerto Rico ARRL convention. Photos and caption information courtesy of Angel Santana, GW. Late last month, the second ARRL Puerto Rico State Convention was held at the Francisco Pancho de Ada Coliseum in the city of Hatillo. The convention was sponsored by the Caribbean Amateur Radio Group, the Puerto Rico Amateur Radio League, and the municipality of Hatillo. On Friday, while many exhibitions were being set up, many hams went to visit the Arecibo Observatory. During the visit, Dennis Moschenbacher, K7BV, donated an FTX 1200 radio on behalf of YESU. The radio will be used at Angel Ramos Visitor Center, where an amateur station is being set up. In the picture is Angel Vasquez, WP3R, the director of operations at the observatory, along with ARRL President K. Craigie, N3KN, and Dennis. The group watched a documentary at the visitor center. Then they got a close-up view of the Arecibo antenna. Shown here at a reception at Arecibo are Felipe Hernandez, NP4Z, Angel, WP3GW, Oscar Resto, KP4RF, and Jim Vasquez, WP3A. Felipe and Jim are well-known contesters. A balloon with a crossband repeater was launched by Oscar Resto, KP4RF, Gladys Munroz, NP3BY, and a group of volunteers. Here, ARRL CEO Dave Summer, K1ZZ, and new Southeastern Division Director Doug Riemann, K4AC, help release a test balloon. The balloon itself was successfully launched at about 9 in the morning. Repeater worked well. A GPS and APRS transmitter helped track it. The balloon was on the air for 2.5 hours and then landed in the city of Manatee. Here's Ray Novak as he waits in the ICOM booth for the gates of the Coliseum to open. The mayor of Patillo Jose Chile Rodriguez visited the ARRL booth and issued a proclamation to celebrate the convention. Here, Jose Montez, KP4EIT, one of the most active six-meter hams on the island, and Ted Jimenez, HI3TEJ, visit Dennis at the Yaesu booth. Other vendors at the convention were Elcraft, Flex Radio, and Ham Radio Deluxe. Here's Edgar Garcia, NP4EG. He manages the convention station KP4PR. Saturday night, Jose Otis Vissens introduced and congratulated the convention team in our SIBO.
Leo Laporte and gang.
John Bigley, N7UR, a friend of Puerto Rico, held a forum and presented a teleconference with Raleigh Hollingsworth, K4ZDH. Here he's shown with Carter, N3AO, and a YL playing a game before that teleconference. Serafin Martinez, KP4FIE, received a special plaque from the Caribbean Amateur Radio Group for making the success of the convention possible. Ramon Ernesto Ramos, KP4DH, was named Amateur of the Year for his contributions to local amateur radio groups. At a grand prize at the end of the convention was an ICOM 7600. The winner was Dennis Perez, WP4Q. Here, Ray Novak hands him the prize. They were flanked by Wilfredo Aviles, KP4ARN, and Jose Vincens, NP4G. And what happened to the balloon? Well, it was retrieved from a treetop on a hill in the countryside near the city of Manatee on Tuesday. It was rescued by Oscar, Luis, and Jimmy. A big Ham Nation thank you to Angel Santana, WP3GW, for supplying the caption information. Photographers were Jose Asuba, WP4DT, Israel Cabrera, KP4LCL, Ted Jimenez, HI3TEJ, and Oscar Resto, KP4RF. Well, thanks for the report, Angel. We look forward to seeing more from you from the island of Puerto Rico. One of the biggest shows in the Southeast is the Orlando Hamcation. And this year, Kevin Young, KC7FPF, a regular on the Ham Nation 40-meter post-show net, was there with his camera.
The Orlando Amateur Radio Club hosted the 68th annual Orlando Hamcation at the Central Florida Fairgrounds in Orlando, Florida on February 7th, 8th, and 9th, 2014, one of the premier ham radio events of the Southeast. As you can see on Friday, the weather was a bit gloomy, but as we all know, weather has never stopped a ham from going to a ham fest. As always, there was always a line to get in on the first day. The ability to be one of the first ones through the door to get your hands on the best deal, as far as anybody knows. This year was especially true for being in the centennial for the ARRL. For the few lucky ones, this was also true to be able to get that limited edition coin in celebration of the 100th anniversary of the ARRL. It was fast and furious to get to the front of the table, but once this was done, it was on with the show. Many of the vendors that we see on the web and in stores were there to show their goods and services. One of the best parts of any major ham fest is the ability to be able to touch and see all the stuff we wish for the ultimate ham shack we all dream of, as well as be able to talk to the reps face-to-face with any questions that we don't feel like talking to on the web. Many of the suppliers for the amateur radio community were also there. With renewed interest in kit building, a newcomer has come on the scene. Nightfire Electronics has a good selection of kits available for those that are new to ham radio and are interested in learning how to solder, along with the idea of, hey, I built that myself. Couple of some bragging rights to go with that. For those interested in the classics, there was a good selection of boat anchors, Humberland, Collins, Helicrafters, and a couple of old Zenith radios that were for sale. Even though the weather was not the best, many of the hams were set up and out in the tailgate area for sale. Also, along one of the many highlights for this year's Hamcation, was a special event station set up in commemoration of the centennial for the ARRL. W1AW/4. two stations were set up. One was in the main hall for those that wanted to operate. It was available, and it was working on 40 meters. There was also a station set up in the back of the fairgrounds that was operating on 20 meters for the duration of the hamcation. All in all, with the weather not being as favorable as it could be, it was still a great hamfest. As related to me by Peter, AI4KM, chairman of the hamfest, we are already planning for next year's hamcation. For additional information on the Orlando Hamcation, you can go to the club's website at hamcation.com. For information about the Orlando Amateur Radio Club, you can visit them on the web also at oarc.org. And finally, I would like to take a moment to wish all the members of the Orlando Amateur Radio Club for a great hamcation. For Ham Nation, from the Orlando Hamcation 2014, this is Kevin, KC7FPF. Thanks for watching, 73s.
Well, thank you, Kevin. Welcome to the Ham Nation video team. Who knows, maybe you'll win the February Ham's Choice Award. And speaking of that award, it's time for you to vote for the January winner. Dan in 9LVS has the voting form up now at hamnationvideos.info. Please vote for your favorite video. The deadline for voting is midnight Tuesday next week. We'll announce the winner on next Wednesday's broadcast. The winner will receive an HF specialty pack from CQ Magazine, courtesy of Mark Breckheisen, KB0MOF, at the Ham Radio Center in Derby, Kansas. And don't forget, we have permanent links to all of the videos we present here on Ham Nation at hamnationvideos.info. Next week, we start a special five-part series showing you the ins and outs of mobile operation. Those five parts are all courtesy of Dan in 9LVS. Well, here on the Ham Nation video segment, we'd like to show your videos too. Just send a link to the video, or if you've got shack photos, send us the shack photos to hamnationvideos@twit.tv also. That's it for the Ham Nation video segment. Have a great week. Cheryl's up next with questions from the chat room. But first, let's check out the latest from Ting. Don?
Thank you, sir. Good stuff tonight. Yeah, Ting, speaking of good stuff, Ting is what's known as an MVNO. Fancy schmancy talk means that they resell the nationwide Sprint network. Sprint's a good company, and that's a good network to be on. But Ting is different because Ting will give you unlimited devices on one plan. Have as many devices as you want on one plan. You share the pooled minutes, the messages, and the megabytes, and each device just costs a flat $6 a month. Now, here's the neat thing. They have superior pricing, and it just got even better. Ting has gotten better pricing from Sprint, and they're going to share the savings directly with you, the customer. Nothing fancy, just better rates, lower monthly bills. So if you've already tried Ting's savings calculator to see how much you could save with Ting, it might be worth it to do another calculation because you could be saving a lot more. And as always, there are no contracts with Ting. You pay only for what you use each month with your megabytes, your messages, and your minutes all billed separately. And that includes your voicemail, caller ID, tethering, hotspot, three-way, call forwarding, all the other cool stuff you like about your cell phone. It's all part of the service. No add-on charges. And Ting is truly and completely contract-free. There are no early termination fees or any other BS with Ting. They'll even give you credit if you're paying an ETF to come to Ting. You get a 25% credit on your ETF up to $75 per device just for moving to Ting. You can find out more details on that at ting.com/ETF. And you're not going to find any weird mumbo-jumbo, weird letters, numbers, stuff like that on your bill. You're going to find out exactly what you spend because Ting charges you for what you use, plus whatever taxes are legally required to collect, and that's all. There are no hidden charges, no recovery fees, none of that other stuff. And you take total control of your account and your spending, your usage, and your bills with the powerful online control panel. And should you need to talk to customer service, it's very easy, 855-TING-FTW, and that's open anytime, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern time. And yes, an actual real-life human being not named Peggy will pick up the phone. And helpful person, too. And speaking of help, if you need to go to help.ting.com, go find active customer forums, simple and powerful help ticketing system, video tutorials, all the cool stuff. You'll find video startup guides and a whole lot more. Here's how it works. Purchase your mobile device from Ting. You'll get that in 2 to 5 business days. Or
If you've got your favorite Sprint phone that you just don't want to give up, maybe like an iPhone 4 or 4S, bring that with you to Ting. You can see the full list of eligible phones by going to the show special URL. Click on the BYOD link. You'll find that at the top of the page. They'll even help you turn your old device into cash if you do want to upgrade and move to Ting. After you activate your device with Ting, you'll have the option to select a new phone number or use your existing one. Ting will port that for you, then break out your rates by minutes, text messages, and megabytes of data and bill you at the end of the month for what you used. Here's what you do right now. Well, after the show, go to hamnation.ting.com. Hamnation.ting.com. Find out how you can save money, better manage your mobile phone usage with Ting. Check out the savings calculator, see how much you could be saving for yourself or your company with Ting. And again, better rates now. So if you've checked that out before, you might want to go back and look again because you could be saving literally hundreds of dollars a month over what you're paying now for your cell phone. And Ham Nation viewers, you also save $25 on your first Ting device when you sign up. Hamnation.ting.com. Start saving today. Thank you, Ting. We appreciate your support of Ham Nation. Now, let's see what Cheryl's got up her pretty little sleeve. Cheryl, how you doing tonight, darling?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good, Dan. Thanks so much. You're looking good. Thanks for your work. We appreciate that, too. All right. Hi, everyone. I do have a quick announcement. I wanted to just announce here for Brad, NKHA. He said that Tom Medlin, call sign W5KUB, is looking for 20-second videos to put up on W5KUB.com from all hams that sent it to him. And I asked him for a link, but he gave me an email. I hope the videos will go through on an email, but we'll see. You can send your videos to Tom at W5KUB.com. He's just looking for 20-second videos about, you know, ham radio and that sort of thing. So that's that. And now let me go ahead and dig into my email bag. And Gordo, it looks like you're going to be first up here from what I can see. Are you with us?
I am, and hopefully you can hear me okay. Go ahead.
You know what? I can still hear you no matter what microphone or whatever, Gordo. It still comes through just perfect, and thanks for being there. So, Gordo, are you saying that he could maybe use his monster vertical CB antenna for 10 meters, even though it is cut for 27 megahertz, not 28 megahertz? Over to you.
Absolutely. The 1 megahertz difference between a real nice CB antenna still working and 28 is about 4 inches off the tip end. And even if you don't cut it at all, it'll still be relatively resonant. So a big honking CB antenna will kick rear on 10 meters. Back to you.
Oh, well, that's interesting to hear. I didn't know that at all. So there you go. Some things are interchangeable after all. And here's another. Someone writes in and says he has an old AMCB base station, and it was called a Tram Browning. And can he convert that over to 10 meters? Gordo, over to you again.
No, unfortunately, the Tram Browning is a wonderful vintage CB radio, but it's double sideband AM, no easy conversion over to upper sideband, single sideband. So keep it as an antique. Go out and get an inexpensive radio. A little ICOM 718 will get you 100 watts on 28 megahertz single sideband. We're all upper sideband from 28.3 to 28.5. Leave the Tram Browning at home.
Wouldn't be type accepted anyway, would it, Gordon? That wouldn't be type accepted for ham radio use anyway, would it?
The Tram Browning, as you point out, is really part 95 accepted, and you really don't want to be messing around with a CB radio outside of the band limits for what it was designed because it would probably create some real problems. So very good point. Leave CB on the CB bands and get yourself a real ham radio. Good point.
Okay, great. And, you know, I'm not trying to throw salt on an open wound here, honestly, Gordo, but I had W5NLR and he said, please tell us about your audio board and how you have them interface with your computer and HF rig. Do you use a special like Sound Blaster card in your computer? Are you using this straight onboard audio in your computer? What do you use to get your audio up and running generally, Gordo?
Generally on the air, it's just a good old Heil microphone right into the mic input. My setup here is a mixer, and I must have pulled a wire when I was cleaning up, so I'll get it fixed for next week.
Okay, and is there a special audio card in your PC for that you're doing?
No, I'm actually using the Alesis Multimix 8, and it goes into the back of the PC.
Oh, very good. Very good. Well, we'll look forward to that. But you're coming over loud and clear. You may be only, 5'8 right now, but we're glad you're here with us. So good enough. And thanks for joining in. And now I'd like to see if George, are you on the line with us here tonight? All right. Hi there, George. All right. K1JHS John, he says he wants to know, he has an inline RF isolator or choke. Should he use that or a one-to-one Balun for RFI? So that's how he stated it. So I'm just curious if you can translate that. He has an inline RF isolator or choke, or should he just use a one-to-one Balun for RFI?
They're kind of all the same thing. I use a one-to-one Balun, or it's called an ugly Balun. You know, it's just a coil of a certain length of your coax around a form right next to the antenna there. But I tried an isolator one time between a rig and an amplifier. It didn't work for me, but I could have just had a bad isolator there. But number one, use whichever you got and see what happens.
Very good. Very good. Well, the chat room was pretty busy tonight, but I tried to pull a lot of questions out from them, but they were really busy going back and forth. So I really want you guys to concentrate. I had a lot of stuff for Bob, and unfortunately, I will hold those questions till next week. There's no doubt I'll have that on my dock, and we'll just go from there. So the only thing I can say is thank you very much for joining in tonight. I do want to mention the frequency for tonight. The 75-meter net will be the after-show QSO on 3865 tonight. Instead of the standard 3847, there seems to be some nearby operators, so we don't want to pose any problems, and we want to be good operators. So tonight, 3.865 megahertz, that's where we'll be. And we had someone asking about the 40-meter net in the chat room, so that would be 7.268 or 7268. And Gordo, can you confirm those 40-meter and 20-meter nets for us, please? Gordo?
Looks like we just lost Gordo on Skype.
Okay. By any chance, George, would you have those frequencies for the night show? You usually have the D-Star and everything. Over to you.
Yeah, and I just put my cards away here because I didn't think I was going to be asked that, but I'll put out my cheat sheet. And what I have written down is the 40-meter net has moved to 7278, so okay. 10 higher there. And 20 meters, I am not sure. I think it's going to be 14.268.
That's what I
And for Echolink, it's star do drop in star or node number 355800. And D-Star, as always, reflector 14, module C.
Very good. Sounds great. That's all I've really got for tonight. I don't have anything for Mr. Wilbanks tonight because they didn't ask anything. Otherwise, you'd be in the mix here too, Don. So don't think I don't think of you.
something I can add. The Ham Nation 40-meter net has a website. It's hamnation40.net. And that will give you the frequencies. And you can also see video of the net controls on there. Live video via Ustream of the net controls. So that's hamnation40.net.
Perfect. I love it. Thank you for sharing that. All right there. So that should do it for tonight. Everyone, have a great evening. I'm Cheryl Assick, K9BIK, and thanks for joining us. And we'll see you next week right here on Ham Nation. Take care, everyone. Thanks, Brian.
Good night, everybody, for me and Dave.